50 years ago this week, scientists at Dartmouth College ran the very first computer program written in a language called BASIC, and that ushered in a new era of computing. Joining me to explain why this was such a noteworthy accomplishment is NPR science correspondent Joe Palca. Joe's been working on stories that track the origins of inventions as part of his NPR project, Joe's Big Idea. Joe, welcome.
Hi there.
And would you tell us first what made BASIC so different?
Well, to really understand that, you have to take yourself back to 1964. I don't know if you can do that or not, but that was a time when if you wanted to run a computer program, what you had to do was make out these things called punch cards. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen them. Anybody who knows them will remember Do Not Fold, Spindle, or Mutilate. They used to print checks on them and things. But they look a little bit like ballots with chads, you know those?
Sure, the hanging chad,
so,
yeah.
Right. So this was a machine that you would get an unpunched card, and you would type in things, numbers or commands, and it would be translated into the binary code that the computer could read. And then this deck of cards would go into the machine, and the machine would scan them, sort of like a barcode today, but each one of these cards would have an instruction on it. And
so a cumbersome process.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Pain in the neck doesn't begin to cover it.
Okay.
The worst thing is that some printers didn't print out what the cards said on them, and if you dropped the cards, you were finished.
So there had to be a better way,
and that's what Thomas Kurtz, who is one of the co-inventors of BASIC, and his pal John Kemeny did. And I interviewed Kurtz, and he said that BASIC was supposed to change all that.
You weren't required to go to the computer center. You weren't required to get permission from somebody that you were allowed to use the computer. You weren't required to bring your punch cards or whatever it is to some desk over in a distant building. We would bring the computing to you via a teletype machine that was hooked up to the telephone network.
And I imagine that really was a kind of an opening up of computing to the masses.
Yeah, exactly, because instead of having to find this special machine to punch these funky cards, you only had to have this teletype. It meant you could operate a computer remotely because what you typed on the keyboard went straight to the computer, and when the computer had something to say, it came back and the keys punched letters or whatever on the paper in the machine. Anyway, Kurtz, I don't know if you could tell from that first cut, he's 86 years old, but he's quite a character, and he's still going strong.
I was asked recently, somebody asked me, did you ever consider the possibility that you might fail? What would you have done if you failed? And the answer is, what? What are you talking about? Never. What?
Yep.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah. Fail? Why would we fail?
So real personality, as you said.
Oh, man, he was great.
Now, was BASIC mainly just important because it was easier for people to use, or was it more to it than that?
Yes, it was much easier to use. I mean, the commands were things like next and print and end and let X and such a thing. But the other thing about it was it allowed something called time sharing, which used to be with these punch cards, one program would run and then another program would run and then another one, and they would go one at a time through the machine. And with BASIC, two programs could run simultaneously, could start working on one, and then while some part of it was fixing itself or working on itself, then another part could run, and they could swap in and out. So you didn't have to wait until your one ahead of you went. You could do them simultaneously. That was a big deal.
And Joe, is BASIC still in use in some form? Is it totally obsolete?
Well, the original program is totally obsolete, but large sections of the Windows operating system are written in a language called Visual BASIC, which is more powerful and does more things, but it's, as the name suggests, a descendant of the original BASIC.
And Joe, there are so many programming languages out there now. There's Java and C and Python and SQL and Ruby and Perl. Why this proliferation?
I also talked with Brian Kernahan, who's at Princeton, and I asked Kernahan about that, and it turns out that different languages have different strengths. If you're doing visual things, you want to use one language. If you're doing highly computational things, you want to use another language. It just depends on how the architecture of the problem and the architecture of the system that you're using are going to be put together. These different languages, I didn't understand it either, and I asked Kernahan, so why... why are there so many? Can't you just write it into a single language? And he said, no. He says it's probably just never going to happen. It's going to be a bit like, the polyglot of languages we have around the world. It's something we have to live with.
That's NPR science correspondent Joe Palca. Joe, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
And Sasha, some other stories we're following. A deal is in the works in Syria to draw the long battle at Homs to a close. The deal would let the rebel fighters evacuate, at which point the Syrian government would enter. Also, Moscow has accused the U.S. and EU of destroying hopes for peace in eastern Ukraine by supporting the interim government's attempts to retake towns occupied by pro-Russian militants. And it's stink bug season. Ugh, these awful bugs. They're terrible. You couldn't get them out of your house, but now Virginia Tech scientists have come up with a low-tech solution you can make yourself. I know some people in Pennsylvania are really interested in that. More on this and other stories later today on All Things Considered. You're listening to Here and Now.